reaching out to save the land, reaching out to help their fellow man.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Mark White Show. I looked at my Facebook this morning and 9 years ago today at 10 o'clock exactly, I was joining Dan Williams, Mayor Dan of Athens, Alabama on his own radio show. And my post was, I'm having fun. I need to be a talk show host. So here I am with my own show 9 years later, the Mark White Show. And I feel like what we're doing is reaching a lot of people and it's sharing other people's experiences and trying to make a difference in the lives of others. And if you're looking for an opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life, listen to the show, listen to the various people, the special guests that I have on the show, and hopefully you find somewhere where you feel like you fit and you can be a difference maker yourself. This morning, I'll have Austin Williams on the program. We're on Facebook Live right now. I have Austin Williams with me in studio. He drove all the way from Atlanta. As many of you know, his mother, Connie Ridgway, back October 23rd, 2015, was murdered in her apartment. We're now almost three years later, and the case is still unsolved. So the objective here, Austin is going to share his experience. He's also going to talk about his mother and what happened here and ways that you can help. We have a page, a group that's Justice for Connie Ridgway, and I hope that you'll go to that page, Justice for Connie Ridgway, and join us in that effort. We're going to continue to bring this into the public eye, and I'm glad that I have my own radio show so that I can choose to bring people like Austin onto the program and talk about these important issues. I'll also have later on the show, we'll have TK Devine. He's the founder of Our Backyard Homes, which he founded this in California, and he created these mobile miniature homes for the homeless, and we're going to talk about his blueprints, his plans, his organization, and maybe a way that we can bring this to our own state here in Alabama. We'll also have Jessica Borkland of The Line from Superstation 101. She actually had her daughter, McKaylee, turned 11 years old recently. She actually, at 5 years old, or just before she turned five, was told that she would not live. So Jessica's going to join me, and she's going to talk about her daughter and their experience and the fact that she's now 11 years old, and thankfully she has done really well, and I want to share that good news with you today. During the Good Deed segment, I'll have Steve Cook on. His wife, Marquita, I recognized her during the Good Deed segment not too long ago. She passed away of pancreatic cancer. But Steve Cook spent time in Washington, D.C., and he was talking to representatives about bringing pancreatic cancer awareness and more funding to pancreatic cancer. So we're going to talk to Steve in that, and we'll also be recognizing a baseball team out of Decatur. Thanks to my friend Tim Sutton, he saw some guys doing a good deed, and he recommended them for that. So we've got a show planned for you. I hope you're sticking with me here. And right now, I'm going to bring Austin into the program. Welcome to the show, Austin.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
Now, me and Austin graduated from Lauderdale County High School together back in 1997, and we have several classmates tomorrow who are going to join us in Athens for a little reunion of sorts, a mini reunion. I guess they liked each other so much at the 20th, they decided they wanted to get together sooner. So we're going to get together tomorrow evening. But the reason we are here right now, Austin, of course, is because of your mom. And we're talking about Connie Ridgway, and we're talking about something that happened in Rogersville October 23rd, 2015. If you would share what happened to your mom as you feel comfortable.
Sure. Well, I won't ever forget getting the phone call from Cameron. I was on my way down to Atlanta on MARTA to go to an event at Oakland Cemetery. They have a historic tour every Halloween. So I was on my way thinking, oh, I'm going to go have fun with some friends, go hang out. And all of a sudden, I see a phone call from Cameron. It's about 6 o'clock on a Friday. I'm like, oh, this is probably bad. I just knew it was bad immediately. Mm-hmm. Then he picked it up, and then I picked it up, and he told me, you know, they found mother in her apartment. There's blood on her. The ambulance is on the way. So I got off the phone. I'm in complete shock, you know, and I'm riding with my friend. My friend's like, are you sure it's really that bad? Like, you know what? I think it's bad. I think she may have been killed, because people don't normally say it. They don't say there's blood on them. They say they're bleeding, right?
Right.
So that was kind of like a
yes.
So that sounded really bad to me. So I canceled everything that was going on. I just got right back on the train and went home and drove here through the night, coming up through Alabama. It was a rainy, stormy weekend. I was driving back through some roads I've never seen before, going through Somerville, and it was just a terrible ride. I was like, I hope I can make it. It was just such a terrible feeling coming back here. Now, I think I got here about 1 o'clock that morning, and we were all at my dad's house, and the police had already left, and I was just in shock at that point completely, because, I mean, who could do something like this to someone who's that kind and that sweet and that neighborly? I mean, she wouldn't say no to anybody. She didn't care who you were, what you ever did. She was always helpful and always...
I've shared my own experiences about Connie when I was a police officer in Rogersville. And, of course, there would be a lot of medical calls where she lived in that community. There were a lot of senior citizens. And I can't remember a time, really, when Connie wasn't at the table with one of those people. And I was on the call, mm-hmm. but she was there with them already, sitting there with them. And she was that kind of person to support other people. And I've mentioned to you before the night that I got a call that there was an apartment on fire. And a lady who was disabled was in the apartment, and a candle had fallen off into the floor and was burning up the carpet and other things there. But Connie was at the door, and she had keys, and we tried the different keys she was handing me. And ultimately, this was, you know, about 1:30 in the morning, and she was awake, and she was there for her neighbor. I ended up kicking the door in and getting the lady out of the apartment and able to stomp the fire out. But that just was a testament to Connie. You know, and I always remember that because she was there and she was very supportive to her neighbors. And so, as you say, Austin, it's hard to grasp that somebody could do this to a person who cared so much for others mm-hmm. and was always there for others.
Yeah, and she never told me about that. She never told me about the fire and helping that neighbor out. She never told me about it.
And that says a lot about her too. I mean, it was just I don't know, a normal day, or it just was something she wasn't necessarily going to share with everybody. But, you know, that day she was there for her neighbor, and that meant a lot. And here's the thing: October 23rd, 2015, she was murdered, and it's never been solved. We have no resolution of the case. There's no closure for the family at this point. And that doesn't mean that even when you find out who it is, that there's complete closure. There never is. But at least finding who did this, because mm-hmm. if they're still alive, they're free. They're out there.
Yeah, I mean, you're not safe. I mean, you're not safe until that person is off the street. I mean, I feel safer where I'm at in Atlanta than I do in Rogersville.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, when we think about somebody who would do something like that, they have the propensity to do it again. They have the ability to do it again. Mm-hmm. You know, we've involved so far. The state took the case, and the state has worked the case. The sheriff's department jumped in after you wrote a letter to the sheriff.
Correct.
He then mm-hmm. said, "Hey, we're going to support the family however we can." And the sheriff's department in Lauderdale County has been involved with the case. Who else has been involved where they've tried to make this bring some closure to it, but unable at this point?
Well, the state's brought in additional resources. They have a cold case specialist that's been working with the sheriff.
And that's helpful, and hopefully what's going to happen, and just like this, a lot of people may not be aware. Rogersville is a small community over in Lauderdale County, which is about 30 to 40 minutes away from Florence, depending on which side of Florence you're on. It's a small area, and we reach a lot of the state of Alabama, so a lot of people don't know about Rogersville. And it's not one of the bigger cities where if something happens, it really hits the news. You have to mm-hmm. create the news, so to speak, and get in touch with news outlets to bring some exposure. And that's what's been done through candlelight memorials that we've had, Channel 19, others, 31, 48. They've all come out and been there to try to support the family and bring some awareness. And, of course, after 3 years, people tend to kind of pull back. It's an old case now, but we want to bring awareness to people and keep it in front of mind so that people know what happened to Connie, that they find compassion within themselves to say, we need to solve this case. To me, it doesn't matter who it is in the community. If somebody's murdered in this way, it needs to be solved. And I know that for you and Cameron and your family members, this has been a difficult time and a difficult process. And mm-hmm. I can't imagine, you know, what it's like for you, Austin. But, you know, you've had support from a core group of people who continue to try to be there. And there's only so much that we can do, mm-hmm. you know, and there's only so much they can do. And law enforcement, I hope that what's happening is they're continuing to work on the case, and maybe the cold case individual is doing doing their due diligence as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. And, you know, the support's been really great from the community, and it means a whole lot. And sometimes I kind of get used to it, but then there are times when I want to text her or call her and say, hey, you know, Adon is, he's doing this or he's doing that, or we're coming up to visit, and I realize, you know, she's not here anymore. You know,
right.
It's really hard.
And grandbabies have been born.
Grandbabies, yeah. We went from no grandbabies to 3 grandbabies in about a year.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, Connie's missing that, and y'all are missing that with Connie, that relationship with grandkids. And I do want to emphasize that people can go to the group page, which is Justice for Connie Ridgway. Go and be a part of our group, be a part of the group, and find out ways that you can help. Every year since Connie's been murdered, even after it in November of 2015, we actually did the first Candlelight Memorial, and every year we've done an event there in Rogersville, and you have a shirt you're wearing today, Connie Ridgway Day, which is what we call it in Rogersville. We have Connie Ridgway Day every year in Rogersville. And what that, it's not just about Connie at that point, but it's also about bringing awareness to violent crimes. These happen every day, you know, whether it's through domestic violence or other things that I've seen. Violent crimes, we need to have an acute awareness of what's going on in our communities and speak out against violent crimes. And that's what happened to Connie. So now you gave me this here. There is, of course, we want to try to get Crime Stoppers involved. And anybody that has a tip, you can speak to the operator there, 256-386-8685. You can send a tip via detailed text message to 274-637, which spells out crimes. Anonymous tips can also be submitted through the Shoals Area Crime Stoppers Facebook page. So if you have any information, and this link will be shared after the show's over, and people can have ways of sharing this. And if anybody has information, I would encourage people to share this as well, to reach as many people as possible, because I believe there's people who know what happened. I've been one or more people that know what happened. Maybe they're just afraid to say something. And we want them to get that courage. We want them to have that compassion toward Connie and the family and step up and say, I know what happened, and I'm going to lay it out. And get it off of their chest, get it off their heart, and find peace. Because I want that person who's holding that information to find peace in their life. And a big part of that peace is going to be letting people know what you know and making this right. And so, once again, that number is 256-386-8685. Through Crime Stoppers. So we want to encourage people to, if they have information, or even if you have something that you're not, that you feel, well, maybe that's not exactly good information, or it's not what they're needing, you know, don't think that way. If you have any kind of information that you feel is associated with this crime, please share it. Call the Lauderdale County Sheriff's Department and let them know as well. And Austin, as you know, we'll have another event this fall.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to have an event where we say that the individual or individuals who committed this crime are caught. And I'm looking forward to that day, as well as you and your family. This has been a long process, and we've continued to reach out, and we will continue to reach out to try to bring awareness to Connie's murder. And more importantly, this is for Connie's legacy. You know, mm-hmm. So much more than that crime. It was so much more than that particular day when this happened. Of course, there were a lot of people at Lauderdale County football field that night. Clements was playing Lauderdale County, and ambulances and police cars. I remember vividly everybody was asking what's going on over there. And at the time, nobody knew. And then word started getting out what had happened to Connie.
Yeah.
But it's so much more than that day. It's what Connie meant to the people in her community. Everybody has a community, and you build it around people that need help. And that's what Connie did. Connie was a helper. She was a difference maker in her community.
Yeah, she would drive people to Huntsville and to Birmingham to go to the doctor and just not expect anything in return. And,
yes.
You know, she's living on a fixed income and barely getting by herself, you know.
It's an amazing testament to your mom. And Cameron is a good friend of mine. Of course, like I said, we graduated together, so we knew each other in school. And you just don't expect that these sort of things will happen. But when they do, people who are friends, people who are neighbors, they band together and they say, we're going to be a part of this effort to try to bring closure to this family. And I hope that even though the killer or killers have not been found yet, that you have felt the support from the community in a way that makes you say there are people who cared about your mom, there are people who care about you and Cameron and your family, and know that people are going to continue to work to try to help solve this case.
I want to thank all the law enforcement officials and public officials that I've talked to. They all are working really hard in the case and want it solved. So just if anyone knows anything, please do call Crime Stoppers. And
I know I've never, as a law enforcement officer, thought, well, I sure don't want to solve this case. I know that the people who are working want to solve it. They want to have the credible information they need to pull the evidence together, create a factual case, so it's a solid case, and whoever did this can be convicted. And that's the objective. And, of course, all the information has to line up correctly, because if you make any mistakes, if there's any loopholes, then you may have your person, but you don't get a conviction. You don't have anything. And so it's got to be done right, and whether that's 3 years or 10 years, and we don't want it to be that long, but we want it to be done right.
Right.
We don't want mistakes to be made, and we want things to be done correctly, so that when you do go through that process, and we've had people tell us before, because you've gone to the victim's rights week, mm-hmm. and you've been down there at Florence, so you know how long some of these people have had to deal with cases, and the yeah. process doesn't start when they find the person. You're really going to have a big, lengthy, strung-out court case once they find the person, and you have to go through that. It's all over again.
I'm not looking forward to that.
But, and that's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, really tough.
But you also want to face it because you know that that's what leads to justice for Connie and for your mother and for a grandmother now. Those kids will never know their grandmother except in pictures and yeah. things that you tell them. And I hope that the stories that they know is that Connie was a community person, that she tried to help other people. And I know you carry that with you, Austin, wherever you go. And you've been an encouragement to me because you and Cameron have been very strong through this process. And that's what I've seen of you. And I don't know, outside of not seeing you, how you handle it, but you've both done really well with what you've had to go through and the experience you've had.
I'd say a lot of that is from my mother. She's very, very faithful and always in church on a Sunday. She's very, very close to God, and I think we do get a lot of that from her.
That's great. Austin, I thank you for coming on the program. Will you hang out with me, or are you going to be heading out?
I'm going to head out pretty
okay.
soon, actually.
I see Dad's outside, so we'll see you, hopefully, Lord willing, tomorrow at the class reunion.
Hope so, yeah.
And I appreciate you coming, Austin. And again, I encourage you to go to Justice for Connie Ridgway on Facebook. Join the group there. Also, you can reach out at Shoals Crime Stoppers if you have any information. And Austin, thanks again, buddy.
Yeah, appreciate thank you. Man. Good seeing you.
Good to see you. And when we come back, we are going to have the Mary Faye Hedrick Good Deed segment, and we'll be talking to Mr. Steve Cook, and I'll be recognizing an all-star baseball team from Decatur. I hope you'll stick with us. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White. Paying too much for your water bill is the pits. But you know what they say, when life gives you the pits, dig a well. The solution is to call my friends at Commercial Drilling today. At CDI, customer service and a handshake still mean something. Give them a call at 256-679-8181.
You know the drill.
Are you tired of all the games, gimmicks, pressure, and huge commission fees from real estate agencies? Twins Realty is too. For great value and excellent service from a local family-owned business, call Kenita Hall with Twins Realty at 256-337-1606. Whether buying or selling, Kenita will personally tailor a solution perfectly suited to your real estate needs. That's 256-337-1606.
Call Kenita.
Roger D's Plumbing has been a reputable and trusted business since 2009. They specialize in residential and commercial construction. They service Athens, Huntsville, Decatur, Florence, and the surrounding areas. They value their customers and work diligently to make sure your job is carried out in a professional, pleasing, and timely manner. Roger D's Plumbing has been a proud member of the Better Business Bureau of North Alabama since 2010. Give Roger a call at 256-771-3139.
They're plumb good. good.
Spring is here, and Greene's Dependable Hardware in Russellville has teamed up with Husqvarna Power Products to make quick work of your landscaping challenges. How about 20% off of a Husqvarna commercial fleet deal or special early season buys on tractors and trimmers, plus 0% financing for up to 48 months? And at Greene's, we service what we sell. Greene's Dependable Hardware in Husqvarna gives you the power to work and the power to save. Greene's Dependable Hardware, Russellville, Alabama, 256-331-0123.
Your dependable service center.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections. Thompson Roofing and Construction. Join us for the first annual Rocking for Rhett Huntsville Benefit Dinner at Huntsville Botanical Gardens on Thursday, September 27th from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. The event proceeds will benefit Girl Power to Cure and their battle against Rett syndrome. Tables and seats are now available, and sponsorship opportunities are also available. Our dinner will honor the following girls and their families battling Rett syndrome in the region: Blakely Goodman, Charlie and Olivia Foster, Tiana Vega, Jesse Watts, and Violet Munson. There will be a silent auction, live auction, and keynote speaker will be Susan Norwell. For more information, give Kevin Pierce a call at 256-468-1787 or email him at kevin@gp2c.org.
Girl Power to Cure.
I love those dear hearts and gentle people who live in my hometown. Because those dear hearts and gentle people will never, ever let you down.
And we're back. We are beginning the Mary Faye Hedrick Good Deed segment. And I want to start by recognizing some boys down in Decatur. My friend Tim Sutton had seen them pushing buggies at Walmart and doing such a great job. He wanted to recognize them during the Good Deed segment. It was on a Saturday, June 16th. These guys were out there. It was the Decatur American Minor AAA Rookie All-Star Team. And there's 12 of these boys, and I want to name them. We've got Cameron G, Hunter T, Carter C, Braden W, Warren S, Nolan C, Takayas K, Channing P, Christopher S, John Eric I, Jace G, and Matthew F. Now, these guys were doing such a great job. Also, Andrew McGuire, who's the coach, sent me their names from the Decatur American 10U Rookie All-Star Group. And I think I can just send them all to the Birmingham Barons baseball game. I think the Barons will let me do that. So I'm going to send all 12 boys to a Birmingham Barons baseball game, and I hope they enjoy that. It's a little drive to Birmingham, but right now they're the closest minor league team we have, so I hope they enjoy their visit to the Birmingham Barons, and I'll get with Coach McGuire and get him those tickets, and I'll post a picture of the boys as they were pushing buggies. I appreciate Tim Sutton for sending me that information about these young men trying to do this. I also want to mention, by request, the Decatur American Dixie Baseball League wanted me to mention, too, these All-Stars. It says, can you plug our team by chance? Absolutely. Our Ozone team, which my son is on, won District 1, and we are going to state in Greenville July 12th. Our AA team just came runner-up in their district and are going to state also. And so really good teams down there in Decatur. Look forward to hearing more out of them. Also want to mention, too, that there is a GoFundMe set up for this All-Star team. So I will post that on the Mark White Show Facebook page, and you can find it there. So thank you, boys, for being out there and doing that work. And thank you for Tim for turning in those names. And I hope they enjoy getting to watch the Birmingham Barons play baseball. Right now I have on the phone with me Mr. Steve Cook, longtime friend. We went to church at Jones Road over in the east side of Limestone County. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Good morning, Mark. Great to be on.
Yes, sir. And I know we've talked about Marquita, your wife, several weeks ago. I mentioned her during the Good Deed segment, and what a blessing she was to so many people. And, of course, you are now carrying the torch for pancreatic cancer to try to bring awareness and get more funding. I want you to tell us about the trip that you made to Washington, D.C., along with some information about Marquita.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate all your listeners and the time today. So Marquita was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer just about 1 year ago. In fact, it was 1 year ago, Father's Day weekend. And it was obviously a shock. She didn't have any, she really didn't fit the profile for it. Any real cancers running in the family. She was a nurse for 10 years before she was a stay-at-home mom for 23, and so she knew what that meant. And we started working with the Clearview Cancer Institute. Many of your listeners will know those folks. Great people in Huntsville, Decatur, and Scottsboro. They're the largest cancer treatment center in Alabama. And a shout-out to all of their folks down there, particularly Dr. Philip McGee and his team. Just could not have spoken better about them. And we began a year-long journey, which ended on June 1, and when the Lord took her. And she is in a much, much better place. But I learned a lot about pancreatic cancer, and honestly, I didn't know much about it as we got into this. And I became active in what's called the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network, also known as PanCAN. And this week in Washington, D.C., about 550 of us gathered in Capitol Hill to advocate to Congress for additional research funding for cancer as a whole and some specific things for pancreatic cancer. And it was fantastic. We were all dressed in purple, and so it was a purple wave that that rolled over Capitol Hill that day. And myself and another young lady from Birmingham were representing the state, and we had about seven different meetings with different congressional offices from our state and got a lot of good support. And I can talk some more about that, but
yes,
it was a very good trip, and I appreciated everybody's prayers and support over the last few weeks.
I know you set up a fundraiser after Marquita passed away, and I believe that fundraiser was close to $8,000. So we had a lot of friends and family and people who supported that effort as well.
We absolutely did. We raised on the Facebook page, we raised almost $7,600, but additional donations that went in her name outside of that Facebook page, I think we were easily well over $10,000. And we had just done a fundraiser for a run that we'd had. We called it, the team was Kicking Keita's Cancer down in Birmingham. It was called Purple Stride, and raised money there too. And the reason it's important is pancreatic cancer has a 9% 5-year survival rate. It is the second leading, is the third leading cause of cancer-related deaths today in the U.S. And it is quickly becoming the second leading cause. It is right behind colon cancer, and all of them are hard. But because there'll be a lot of research funding going in this area. Well, there's not. And the reason is because the number of people that contract it is relatively small. It actually fits in what's called a rare cancers category.
Okay.
It's rare, but it's only rare for those if it doesn't affect you.
That's right.
Statistically, 739 other Alabamians, along with Marquita, will lose their life to pancreatic cancer this year, about 55,000 nationwide. And so it's a deadly killer. There is no early detection test for it. When it shows up, it's very very stealthy, and it's usually a stage 4 cancer, which means it's gone to other places. And because of that, that really drives that survival rate down. So our goal was to get up and advocate for specifically $39.3 billion for the National Institutes of Health, which is a $2 billion increase over last year, and specifically $6.4 billion for the National Cancer Institute. And to keep pancreatic cancer as a part of the Defense Department's congressionally mandated research program. And this is something that we got very good support from folks as we visited, and I'm optimistic that this can happen, because without federal funding in this arena, we're going to continue. This will become the second leading cause of death, because there's not enough people to contract it to make a business case for drug companies to make the investment required for clinical trials, which takes, 7 years and a lot of money. And the options, Mark, are very, very few for treatment. And we went through those. We tried everything we could hit and went to several places around the U.S. And she survived statistically much longer than most would do, and we were blessed to have her as a continued light into this community.
Right.
The time that we did, but you know, we wanted, our goal is to double the pancreatic cancer survival rate by 2020. To get it from 9% to 18%, and right now we need your listeners' help to make that happen by making the call.
And that's what I was going to ask next. I know you and Bridget from Birmingham, as you said, went up there to D.C. to reach out to representatives, but individuals who are listening where pancreatic cancer maybe has touched their life or not, or maybe not yet, and opportunities that they have to help this effort. And you would suggest them calling representatives in D.C., our representatives here in Alabama through the Senate and the House of Representatives as well?
Absolutely. Specifically, call Congressman Brooks' office. You can find his number on the web. But for those that don't have that, it's 202-225-4801. Or Senator Shelby's office, and Senator Shelby's office, both, 202-224-5744. And really what I would request that you ask is that they continue their support for cancer research funding from the federal government. Doesn't have to be specific to pancreatic. It can be about cancer research dollars, increased cancer research dollars from the federal government, both from the National Institutes of Health and from the Department of Defense. And that will be an outstanding follow-up to our one-on-one face-to-face meetings that we had with the staffs of the congressional teams this week. And we've got a great state. The team works, our congressional delegation works incredibly well together on many topics. And I've met with them on things related to aerospace and defense, my business during the day. I've never did anything personal like this. And I was touched to see the folks that reach out. And I suspect some of your listeners also go down into Congressman Robert Adderholt's district as well, the south of Decatur.
That's right.
And to call him as well. Again, big supporters. You can find all their contacts online.
We've had a couple of people post on Facebook Live. Tanya Hammond, great friend of ours, who was actually with my grandmother on the ambulance to Huntsville before she passed away. Her mother-in-law, Dean Hammond, she went through pancreatic cancer. She passed away. It was February 18th, 2016. She fought her battle for a year. And then Zach Green posted about his friend Kathy, never fully diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, but had pancreatitis and went to the cancer center when she was living. So, of course, there are people who are affected, and I knew that would happen, Steve. When you bring up a subject, there are people who are touched by it. And I appreciate you coming on this program. And, as a matter of fact, whenever you have new information, anything that you want me to share through the program, please let me know, Steve.
Mark, I will do that, and very much appreciate your time today. And again, thanks for your listeners and for helping the cause to get cancer into the category of a beaten disease.
Thank you, Steve. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks much.
All right, take care. And that was the Mary Faye Hedrick Good Deed segment. I was talking to Steve Cook, whose wife Marquita passed away from pancreatic cancer. When we come back, we're going to talk to TK Devine. He is in California, and he started our Backyard Homes. He started an organization that helps the homeless have mobile homes. And we're going to talk to him when we come back. I hope you'll stick with me. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White. If you are looking to sell or buy a home, I would encourage you to call Kanita. Call Kanita at 256-337-1606 for all of your real estate needs. You can also find her on Facebook at Kanita Hall Realtor, as well as twinsrealtyco.com.
Call Kanita.
Suzanne's Bakery and Eatery has now been serving up fresh baked items to Athens and North Alabama for over 12 years. Located at 1207 East Forest Street behind CVS on Highway 31 in Athens, Suzanne's Bakery is open Tuesday 10 to 6, Wednesday 10 to 5:30, and Thursday and Friday morning from 6:30 until 6 in the evening. You can also place to-go orders for a meal or fresh baked dessert to enjoy with your family, or even have an event catered. Check out Suzanne's menu at suzannesbakery.com or give them a call at 256-232-8210.
Fresh baked.
Since 1930, McCleary Tire in Athens has been your one-stop, on-the-spot auto service headquarters. I'm going to let my friend Casey Harbin tell you all about it.
We do undercar stuff, tires of all kinds, commercial, implement, lawn and garden. We do all kind of chassis work, front end alignments, shock struts, bearings, oil changes. We do air conditioning work, starters, alternators, tune-ups, engines, transmissions. We do it all.
Located at 611 East Hobbs Street in Athens. Give them a call at 256-232-2630.
Where the rubber meets the road.
Are you a first responder? At Husqvarna, we support the uniformed men and women who serve our country and communities. As a way to honor your service, we created the Military and First Responder Appreciation Program. As a first responder, you qualify for a discount on your purchase of Husqvarna powered equipment. Get 10% off select commercial products at participating dealers. Whether you're starting a business or maintaining your property, you can count on Husqvarna. Find out why we're the brand that's trusted by real professionals. Visit Green's Dependable Hardware at 15220 A Highway 43, Russellville, Alabama. You can also find them on Facebook at Green's Dependable Hardware. Give them a call at 256-331-0123. Tiffin Motor Homes is a proud sponsor of the Mark White Show. Tiffin Motorhomes has been in operation in Red Bay, Alabama since 1972. The family-owned business offers a wide variety of models to suit your needs, ranging from the 45 Zephyr to the best-selling diesel coach on the market today, the Phaeton, to their latest exciting endeavor, the Wayfarer, built in Winfield, Alabama. Go to TiffinMotorhomes.com to find where your nearest dealership is located. Tiffin Motorhomes are made to move you. See your local dealer today.
Wrapping it smoothly.
Losing a loved one is difficult, and many times dealing with the estate of a loved one makes it even more challenging. If you're facing what to do with the home or land of someone you love, give Kenita a call and let her walk you through the process. 256-337-1606. Kenita Hall Realty.
This is Ruth Ann Stallings. I'm listening to the Mark White Show and encourage you to try to make a difference in the lives of people.
There are people in this country who work hard every day. Not for fame or fortune do they strive, but the fruits of their labor are worth more than their pay, and it's time a few of them were recognized.
And we are back. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White. Right now, we have on the line TK Devine, and he is the founder of Our Backyard Homes. Welcome to the show, TK.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Thank you for coming on. I reached out to you because I saw a special video where you were talking about how these homes were made and what you're trying to do there in California. If you would, just give us a background of what has led to these homes and what you're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now we're still in the advocacy segment of what we're trying to pull off. So essentially what we're looking to do is we have tiny houses on wheels that we're looking to place into the backyards of urban houses here in Los Angeles. So basically what we have are these off-grid structures that are fully self-sustaining. They make their own power, they make their own water, they make their own electricity and sewage and gray water dispersal to a rooftop garden. So it's fairly sophisticated technology that's intended to be able to fit into these pockets of residential space here in the city and utilize free space in a way that the city really needs it, because we have a huge problem with homelessness here. The last numbers in were 53,000 people on the streets.
Oh, me.
It's a big problem, and yeah, we need a solution.
And one of the things, of course, being on wheels, even here in Alabama, there are a lot of laws and ordinances, but if it's on wheels, it actually allows some flexibility that otherwise you wouldn't have if they were permanent dwellings.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting when you look at the legislative side of wheeled dwellings. So here in L.A. right now, there's nothing in the code that says you can't do it, but if a neighbor complains, then the city can come and have you leave. So right now, it's not the best solution, but it's not the worst either. The city's currently taking a look at laws, at an ordinance. They're proposing an ordinance right now for tiny houses on wheels. So we're part of that conversation to try to influence that language so it supports our technology and our concept.
How did you come to found this organization? What was your,
I understand that it was for the homeless, but what led you to this? Are you an engineer by trade, anything of that nature?
Oh, far from it. No. Myself and just a group of friends that became just a group of concerned citizens like myself got together, and you know, we just, there's such a huge problem here, and driving around the city, you can't help but run into all these encampments. There's a lot of obvious RVs and vehicles folks are living in. Rent itself is just skyrocketing. So
yes,
a lot of folks here are feeling it themselves in their everyday lives. The middle class feels the squeeze. Rent has gone up, you know, two or three times in some areas. I moved here in 2010, and the place that I rented out when I first moved to Los Angeles is now 2.5 times as expensive as it was before. So that's a really, really big increase, and a lot of people aren't feeling that same increase in their wages. And so I think a lot of us that got together about this started feeling a lot of sympathy for folks who are on the street, because we feel like there's a big rise in the number of economic homeless folks who just don't have enough money to afford housing and are just trying to find ways in the event of an emergency to just get through a tough time. And so we wanted to do something to change that. And this is part of that solution.
And that's happening across the country. And of course, you laid out a number of 53,000, and across the country, there are people who are homeless. And I remember one time somebody asked me, I formed a nonprofit called Difference Makers, and the individual asked, well, how many homeless are there in the community? And it doesn't matter if it's one or 53,000. We need to try to find a way, if possible, to give them a place to live, a place that's clean, a place, an environment that helps them to, Lord willing, be productive, you know, and to find ways that they can help in the community. And I know that's what your goal is to find these homes for homeless. And I'm hoping that somewhere along the way somebody listens, whether it's in the state of Alabama or Colorado or wherever somebody's listening, that they latch on to that. And how could somebody be a part of Our Backyard Homes, find out information about what you guys are doing to broaden this other than just Los Angeles? I know you're reaching out beyond that. How can somebody be a part of this effort?
Well, yeah, first of all, absolutely. I think regardless of what any individual or group out there can do to help one people or a million people, I think
yes,
that's wonderful. And we recognize that this backyard home solution, particularly in Los Angeles, is going to take some time to unfold. And you know, if we can help one or two people at first, and then, you know, if it balloons into other areas, and that's wonderful. As far as anyone that is interested in learning more about us or helping out, they can check us out at www.ourbackyardhomes.org. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're also on Instagram with Our Backyard Homes as a handle. So you guys can you know, check us out there and learn more about the program. If you want to get involved, contact us. We'll talk. I love to field comments and emails from folks who are interested in helping, because there are ways to help. We have a team that's pretty broad. I've got folks who are helping on, say, the GIS mapping side that don't live in LA at all.
Okay.
There are ways to help remotely with the issue here. Or, you know, I can always, you know, talk to folks about what's going on in their community and see if there's a way to apply our concept elsewhere.
Well, and that's what we want to do here. So we'll be in touch, TK, and we'll be talking more about what we may can do here in Alabama with Our Backyard Homes. And I want to tell you, I appreciate what you're doing and the people who have decided to be a part of the organization to help make this happen for folks in Los Angeles. I appreciate you, and I appreciate all the volunteers and all those who are working to make this happen for the homeless.
Well, thank you, and likewise, you know, anything anyone can do for the community, I think, is a real good thing. So hopefully we can have more folks who are doing whatever they believe in to make a difference.
Absolutely, and TK has given us the information for you to reach out, and he would love for you to reach out to him if you have any questions and want more information about Our Backyard Homes. Thank you, TK Devine, for joining me this morning.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Have a safe day. We'll talk to you later.
You too. Thank you.
You've been listening to TK Devine. He is the founder of Our Backyard Homes. If you want more information, you can go to Facebook, Our Backyard Homes. Send him a message and he'll respond. When we come back, We will have Jessica Borkland joining us, and she's going to talk about her daughter. She had posted a while back about her daughter turning 11 years old. She wasn't supposed to make it to 5. But we're going to talk to Jessica about what had happened and now where her daughter is today. And I'm looking forward to that conversation. So I hope you'll stick with me. You're listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections. Thompson Roofing and Construction. Tiffin Motor Homes is a proud sponsor of The Mark White Show. Tiffin Motor Homes has been in operation in Red Bay, Alabama since 1972. The family-owned business offers a wide variety of models to suit your needs, ranging from the 45 Zephyr to the best-selling diesel coach on the market today, the Phaeton, to their latest exciting endeavor, the Wayfarer, built in Winfield, Alabama. Go to TiffinMotorHomes.com to find where your nearest dealership is located. Tiffin Motor Homes are made to move you. See your local dealer today.
Roughing it smoothly.
Are you tired of all the games, gimmicks, pressure, and huge commission fees from real estate agencies? Twins Realty is too. For great value and excellent service from a local family-owned business, call Kenita Hall with Twins Realty at 256-337-1606. Whether buying or selling, Kenita will personally tailor a solution perfectly suited to your real estate needs. That's 256-337-1606.
Call Kenita.
Every pro on your team wants to work with a Husqvarna, and who can blame them? Husqvarna products are powerful, ergonomic, and packed with innovation so your crew can work quickly and safely in any environment. And now we're making it easier than ever to put a Husqvarna in their hands with our cost-saving fleet program, where commercial customers can save up to 20% on new equipment purchases. If you want more Husqvarnas in their hands and more money in your pocket, get all your new equipment through the Husqvarna fleet program. You'll get professional results and the power to save. Visit Greens Dependable at 15220 A, Highway 43, Russellville, Alabama, or give them a call at 256-331-0023. Find them on Facebook at Greens Dependable Hardware. Paying too much for your water bill is the pits, but you know what they say, when life gives you the pits, dig a well. The solution is to call my friends at Commercial Drilling today. At CDI, customer service and a handshake still mean something. Give them a call at 256-679-8181.
You know the drill.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is the Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
Heroes come in every shape and size, making special sacrifices for others in their lives. No one gives them medals, the world don't know their names, but in someone's eyes, they're heroes just the same.
And we are back. You are listening to The Mark White Show. I'm your host, Mark White. And right now we have on the program Jessica Borkland. Welcome to the show, Jessica.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yes, and we want to talk about your daughter. I know she just recently had a birthday, McKaylee. And right. Tell us, I know in your post I saw where she wasn't supposed to make it to 5 years old. And, of course, I have a daughter that's 4. And so when you talk about toddlers in that age range, it concerns me. And I know that you were expressing the successes that your daughter has had since that point. But if you would, tell us about McKaylee and what
absolutely.
Y'all went through.
Yeah, she was when she was born, she cried all the time. And she was my second child, so I kind of knew what to expect. So it was a little bit unusual that she was as fussy as she was. They couldn't find anything wrong with her. And basically, when she was 7 months old, I set her on the bed just for a second so I could get ready for church. I turned my head for just a moment, and she fell off the bed, landed on her head. We took her to the ER just to be on the safe side, and they incidentally discovered that she had a condition called hydrocephalus, which is a buildup of spinal fluid in your brain. It was completely unrelated to the fall, so the fall actually saved her life, which is miracle number one in the story. But they said we're going to have to do an MRI just to evaluate everything and make sure there's nothing else going on.
and also do brain surgery. So during that process, they discovered that she actually had a, it's called a bithalamic anaplastic astrocytoma, which is terminal brain cancer, which as a parent was devastating to hear. You just don't ever expect to hear that your child has cancer and right. terminal cancer at that. And so it was just a whirlwind after that. We ended up contacting St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, and within a week of talking to them, we were packing to move to Memphis for treatment. And within that year, she received some of the most aggressive forms of chemotherapy, just trying to stop the growth of the tumor. And, you know, the very first day we sat down with her neuro-oncologist, I said, look, I'm the type of person that I want to know everything up front. So just go ahead and put it out there and tell me, statistically speaking, like, well, what are we looking at? And he said, I'll be honest with you, you know, it'll be a miracle if she lives to see her fifth birthday. This is a terminal diagnosis. It doesn't have, you know, very good statistics associated with it. And that was just devastating for me as a mother. You know, you just start thinking, I can't even imagine what it would be like to not have her in my life. You know, right. she was only a year old at the time that we received the diagnosis. And I just, it just like everything stopped, you know, the world just stopped in that moment. And I'm trying to process this horrible news. And so we went forward, did the chemotherapy. Of course, she lost all of her hair, lost a ton of weight. Just became a shadow of what she used to be. It was really, really hard.
Yes.
And we just decided after that we were just going to make the most of the time that we did have with her. You know, we did the Make-A-Wish. We went to Disney World. Every moment mattered. You know, we made sure that we were going to live a life without regrets. If we weren't going to have, you know, all this time with her, we wanted to make sure the time that we did have with her mattered. And, you know, as time went on, you kind of start to forget a little bit. I mean, it's always in the back of your mind, but life kind of become more normal. And then when she hit 5 years old, she started having symptoms of tumor growth. And I thought, this is it. You know, this is what they told us was going to happen, and it's happening right on cue. So we took her back to St. Jude's, and they discovered that she had gone into early puberty and that she had, the MRI showed that she had two spots on her spine and one in her left frontal lobe. And I just thought, well, this is it. I mean, this is the moment that I have dreaded for all of these years. So they sent us back home and with orders to come back in 6 weeks to rescan her, because basically they told us once the tumor starts growing again, there's nothing we can do.
Right.
So we were devastated, and we got everybody we knew to start praying and just begging God to please sustain her life. So we went back and they rescanned her, and they said, look, we can't explain it. The original tumor is still there, but all of the spots that we saw were gone. So the spots in her spine disappeared, the one in her frontal lobe, gone. No explanation, medically speaking, nobody could explain to us why that had happened. And
wow.
I know that was a miracle. Now, that was 6 years ago, and just earlier this month, she celebrated her 11th birthday. You know, and she's not just survived all of this time. Like, she's thriving. She's a straight-A student. She just made it into the math club at her middle school, and she has a passion for life that's infectious. She's brilliant and funny, and I know it's only because of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You know, I used to write a lot during the early days of the journey, and I'll never forget one of the very first blogs I ever wrote. I was listing out all the obstacles she was facing, all the medical stuff, and all the statistics for her survival, and just seeing it all written out, you know, was just completely overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember that story, you know, of the disciples in the boat when there were storms all around them, and they felt like surely they weren't going to make it through the night. You know, they saw Jesus resting in the boat, and they called to him for help, and some of them not believing in his power. You know, but he calmed the storms. He calmed the waters. He never left them, even when they doubted him. And that was such a powerful parallel to me in that moment. Just as I typed it out, I just thought, you know, all of this is happening, but I believe.
Yes.
And that's really become a tagline for this journey. Like, no matter what we face, no matter how bleak the future might seem, no matter what the doctors say, you know, that we believe. We believe that God can sustain her life because he has. And I think he's given us a peace no matter what has come. And I have this little girl who's a walking testimony for the power of Jesus Christ. You know, nothing could be more sobering than to be told that you're going to lose your daughter to cancer. And then to see God step in and say, well, just believe because my plans are bigger. You know, Michaela, she's touched so many people's lives. She's forever changed my life. And regardless of how hard parts of this journey might have been and might continue to be, I wouldn't trade it for anything, because God has revealed his glory to us in ways that are indescribable. And it's been a blessing to be her mother, to see how this journey has shaped her for greatness, you know, to know that she was born with a purpose, and how beautiful it is that I'm blessed to be a part of that. And really, I'll end the story this way, because I think it's just amazing. But just a few months ago, I had the pleasure of seeing my daughter give her life to Christ. I was able to be a part of that experience, to lead her to the Lord and watch her as she accepted Christ into her life. And the beauty of that moment was something that I will forever treasure. And I know deep inside my heart that no matter what happens, you know, this world is not our home. We're here to make a difference for Christ, to be a light for him. And her story, her journey, will forever be a testimony to the power, the grace, the mercy of Jesus Christ. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. And, you know, one day, if the Lord does decide to take her home, as devastating and heartbreaking as that moment will be, I know that I can rest assured that she'll finally be home, you know. And I just, yes. As a parent, that's so hard to say, but it's so true, you know, and it just, this journey has been so trying and so hard at times, but it's also been a blessing. And I know that sounds crazy to hear, but it's so true. She's just such an inspiration. And I know not just to me, but to so many people.
What a beautiful story, too. And we've had people who've come on in your similar situation, that they've had to deal with the children with cancer, diagnosed with cancer, and had to face St. Jude and the great work that those organizations do as well. And,
absolutely.
And, you know, what a wonderful testimony of McKaylee. And we can learn a lot from young people, can't we?
Oh, gosh. Absolutely. Listen, I tell people all the time, sometimes I feel like my kids have taught me more than I've taught them. So that's absolutely right.
Jessica, I really appreciate the fact that you were willing to come on the show and share this story about McKaylee and what you've experienced as a mom, as a parent, experienced from your daughter. Sounds like there's a lot of great lessons that we can learn from McKaylee, and what a beautiful story you shared. And also, you know, I like funny and brilliant people, so maybe one day she can talk to me as well.
Listen, you invite her on and she will talk your ear off. She is a firecracker.
Maybe
sure.
When I go to 2 hours.
Listen, she'd eat up every 2 hours, I promise you that.
I love it. Well, thank you for joining me this morning, Jessica.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
All right. You take care. And that was Jessica Borkland, and talking about her daughter, McKaylee. Next week, we're going to talk about MPS. A lot of people don't know about MPS. I was made aware of it by somebody wearing purple one day. And so we're going to dedicate next week's show to MPS. Can't pronounce the name. That's why it's an acronym. So you'll learn about it next week. I hope you'll join me. Been a great show this morning. If anything has touched you in any of the segments, I hope you'll reach out to those individuals and find out more. You're always welcome at The Mark White Show. Find me on Facebook. If you want to send me an email, send me an email at themarkwhiteshow@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon. You've been listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
There's nothing like fresh water from a well.
You are so right, Mr. Jerry Sutton, and Commercial Drilling can take care of that well for you. Give them a call at 256-679-8181 or check them out on the web at commercialdrilling.com. Roger D's Plumbing has been a reputable and trusted business since 2009. They specialize in residential and commercial construction. They service Athens, Huntsville, Decatur, Florence, and the surrounding areas. They value their customers and work diligently to make sure your job is carried out in a professional, pleasing, and timely manner. Roger D's Plumbing has been a proud member of the Better Business Bureau of North Alabama since 2010. Give Roger a call at 256-771-3139.
They're plumb good.
Since 1930, McCleary Tire in Athens has been your one-stop, on-the-spot auto service headquarters. I'm going to let my friend Casey Harbin tell you all about it.
This time of year, you need to get, you know, make sure your air conditioner's working good, make sure it's charged up good. This time of year, two people start thinking about baseball season, going on vacation and stuff, do a lot of traveling. And that's when you want to make sure your tires are good, your brakes are good, things like that. And it's no charge to ever check anything like that. Run it by any time. We can take a look at them or whatever. It's just a good time to get everything checked out.
Located at 611 East Hobbs Street in Athens. Give them a call at 256-232-2630.
Where the rubber meets the road.
If you are a Limestone County water customer, you can either continue to get a whale of a water bill or you can get a whale. Give my friends at Commercial Drilling a call. They want to talk to you, Limestone County. 256-679-8181 or find them on the web at commercialdrilling.com.
All it takes God.